Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, coming to you today from the We Believe Tower on the 10th floor in Midtown, overlooking majestic Buckhead in Atlanta, the heart of the South, the heart of Dixie, the heart of dysfunction. One of the places where the world is just full of people who have troubles, and we're going to talk about some of that today. I've got somebody on the line right away, so here, hold on one second. This is Jack Watts. You're on Jack Watts on Recovery.
It's me, Stacy.
Hey, Stacy, how are you?
I'm good. How
today
are you?
Today we have a... Today, I'm doing really well. Today we have somebody who is supposed to be calling in and talking about her situation, which has to do with having a really difficult time with Jehovah's Witnesses, and she comes from a dysfunctional family, and we'll see if she calls. Sometimes people get a little nervous, as she's supposed to, but until I see her on the board, I'm going to start out, as I do often on this program, which has been political for the last couple of months, but now back to my original calling, which essentially is talking about recovery of all kinds, and particularly religious abuse. And I'm going to start today by reading a prayer. And the name of the prayer, titled, is Insisting on My Own Way. Father, I want to control the outcome of events that impact my life. You know that the desire of my heart is for you to orchestrate circumstances which will allow me to get my way. When that doesn't happen, which seems to be far too often, I become sulky, peevish, and petulant. I resent that you do not make your will mine, even though my desires may not be in line with yours. When I behave like a child, I think like one as well, never acknowledging how juvenile I've become. It doesn't occur to me until after my fretful emotions have run the gamut and I am spent, emotionally exhausted from dictating to you. At the end of it all, like always, I become sorrowful, realizing that you are God and I am not. Forgive me for my waywardness and restore to me a sense of humility and equilibrium. Teach me to focus on my part alone, which are the things that I can control, rather than the things that I cannot. Amen. Now, as I, you know, when I wrote that prayer, it's been a while, but it seemed to me, and still does, that so often when I pray about things, it really isn't either worshipful or recognition that God is God and I am not He. It's more like me dictating to God what He should do for me, and I call it prayer. And I think that there can't be anything further from the truth, and I know that people who are out there over drinking, drugging, in illicit relationships, addicted to pornography, overeating, overspending, over exercising, over this, over that, and over whatever, that they, when they do pray, what they call prayer, is often just give me this and give me that, which doesn't really get people very far, and certainly doesn't. Those aren't the things that God answers positively. God, give me a new house, and you don't get one. So God's to blame somehow. That's how that works. It's a little bit funny. I believe this is this person, Stacy. So hold on while I put her on. Hold on a second.
Okay.
This is Jack. Is this Desiree?
Yeah.
Well, how are you today? I'm so glad that you called in.
I'm a little bit nervous about doing it.
Well, so you're in Texas.
Yeah.
And I'm here in Atlanta, and I've got Stacy on the line, who is on the show as often as not, and she's in Florida. But this is your time, really, Desiree. When I saw what you had written when we were on Facebook there today about what your past has been, and you were looking at some of the some of my blog entries from my Pushing Jesus, which are all about recovering from religious abuse, and then you started telling me your story, I thought, this is something that everybody needs to hear. So just tell us about yourself, and, every now and then I'll ask you some questions, but, just kind of give us some background.
I'm just a little bit curious. Where would you like me to start? I'm lost here.
Well, just start wherever you want to. I think what you were writing this morning about what your growing up experience was is a great place to start.
Growing up, my family was very staunch Democratic, and my grandmother, very staunch. She's passed away a long time ago, but she was atheist, and the majority of them were atheists too. Didn't believe in God, so every Easter, my mom would dress me up, and we would go to a church, just for Easter, and so pretty much, lots of questions about God, because one part, it was really weird, my grandmother was so much of an atheist, then she would talk about her father, who totally believed in God, and read, the only book that he would read was the Bible. But he didn't believe in any religion because he felt they were all hypocrites and liars. this is really scary talking about it.
And this was and did you grow up in Texas?
No, I grew up in California.
And
my husband's work.
Mm-hmm. And so your dad was.
My father was never part of my life. That's another mystery that I'll never know about who he was. My family always kept it from me. So it's like a conspiracy from the beginning of the joke.
So you got the early life message and imprint that people who went to church and believed in God were all liars and hypocrites, and that it was not a place for an honest and honorable person to go.
Yeah.
You went into your teen years, and what was happening, what was going on with you then?
That was, teen years, that was during the Vietnam War, which is that was horrible. And always, all growing up, I always kept wanting to have God in my life, but not having him in my life and not really knowing how to go about, doing it. ended up a boy that I was dating, his family was Jehovah's Witnesses, and therein I got sucked in. And that became, you know, for the rest of my whole life, it's just trying to, you know, believe in God, and then the stuff that they indoctrinate into you and trying to get it out of your brain is just about impossible.
That's
and it's hard for
true.
Other people to understand what it does to your mind and your heart, the guilt.
You know, there's a quote that Blaine Pascal had years ago that just came to my mind as you were saying that, and that said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in everybody's life that can be filled by nobody other than God himself. And that was what you were experiencing when you were a teen and when you first got married. And not having that and wanting it was a terrible thing for you. But then from seeking out God, you ended up where?
I was, you know, in that relationship, my first marriage. I'm divorced, thank God for that one. But it took out, you know, a big chunk of my life. And I was blessed with a child from it, but that was the only blessing ever came of it. I mean, literally, I think the, you know, all the years of going through it, it was, I remember being in the Kingdom Hall, sitting there, and this elder gets up and he's talking about this new divine inspiration came over the head honchos. I'm kind of being derogatory about him right now, but saying that all the sisters, all women were all called sisters, that it came to their attention that from now on that we had to wear appropriate dress for all Bible studies, anything pertaining to Jehovah God, and we had to wear nylon. That's the kicker off for me, was when he said that
you
we
had to wear nylons?
We had to wear nylons for now. No more going bare skin on, you know, legs. We had to wear nylons, but it wouldn't be appropriate to be, you know, representing God without wearing nylons. And it just hit me. You know, everything that I had been battling and everything.
What years were these? What I mean, what was the date that we're talking about now?
That would be like about towards my middle 20s. I mean, they got me when I was 15 and, you know.
Okay, but. What, in other words, the 70s, 80s, 90s, 60s, 50s, what?
Oh, gosh. Well, that was, you know, in my middle of my 20s, like probably about 25, I'd say about then, where it just really is, you know, when I got up and just said that's it and took my daughter and left. And you know, from that, I separated and left my abusive husband. That I was told that I couldn't divorce him, even though he was an adulterer, a beater, everything you named down the pike, that person was.
Now,
I had to stay with him because Jehovah God hates divorcing.
Desiree, what kind of church was this you were going to?
Which, the Jehovah, pardon?
What kind of church was it?
Jehovah's
like
Witnesses.
What denomination?
Jehovah's Witnesses.
I see. So, okay, so, all right. You, well, that's a tough one once you got into it. And so once you left, then you're no longer one of the chosen.
Yeah.
And you have fallen from grace, and that's what they believe. And so that's a hard thing for you to overcome. Now, who is in their belief system, in what was taught to you, who is Christ?
They believe in Jesus Christ, you know, as God's son, but they don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe, you know, they don't believe in Christmas. They don't believe in birthdays. They don't believe in holidays. I mean, you name it, they don't believe in it.
Well, it's a very strict work ethic. You have to do this, that, the other, and, you know, toe the line.
Yeah.
Did you, have you, to, did as you
have to follow, you know, the you know, it's very, you know, trying to figure when you get into it, everybody's very friendly. There's a bunch of people. Most of them are very wonderful people. You're just pretty much brainwashed out of your head. They explain, you know, for instance, we don't celebrate birthdays because your death is more important. That, you know, Jesus' death was more important than his birth. John was beheaded from King Harold's on his birthday. From, you know, so birthdays therefore should not be celebrated because of that. That's why they don't celebrate birthdays. I'm trying to make it short. you know, they still don't accept blood transfusions.
Right.
You know, they didn't used to accept any kind of you couldn't, you know, like kidneys or even using, for instance, dialysis machines. And I remember reading the Watchtower and Awakes where, you know, children died because they couldn't go. You know, they're not allowed to use those machines because they felt once the blood left, you're not, you know, allowed to go back in, even though, you know, mm-hmm. what I'm saying. So people
yeah.
died, and they would hold that up as this is, you know, how
now
serving
you,
God.
Now you left.
You know,
you left Jehovah's Witnesses when you were 25.
Mm-hmm.
So how long has that been? In other words, how long have you been out?
Well, like I said, I walked out, but then, you know, I start feeling really bad and feeling guilty, and then I go back. So it's kind of, you know, like an alcoholic where, you know, you can go a year or two without drinking, and then you have that drink, and you're back, you know. The only way I can, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, I've been in and out. I've never been disfellowshipped from them, but I've been in and out.
Mm-hmm.
I get really depressed and lonely, you know, and miss, you know, serving God, and, you know, and I end up going back. And then I get just, you know, I get so frustrated and upset with them that I, you know, I get, then, you know, I leave. I guess it's a quick way of rephrasing it, you know.
Well, you're better off with no church than there.
Yeah.
But the only way for you to get the emotional health and stability that you need to go forward is to kind of go through the stuff that you've been through and come out the other end understanding who God really is, and that your relationship with him is based on your relationship with Christ and who is his only son. Not everybody is his son in the same way. That you've been taught isn't correct. And that the Godhead is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is what is the core of what Christianity is and has been for 2,000 years. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses came in the, you know, started in the 1830s or 40s. So they've been around less than 200 years, but Christianity has been around since Pentecost. And, you know, I don't know that finding a church right to begin with is as important for you as, you know, I think we're going to send you Recovering from Religious Abuse, 11 Steps to Spiritual Freedom. I wrote it.
Yeah.
And we've got a copy of it. Send Stacy your, Stacy, tell her your email address.
Okay, it's Stacy, Stacy.
Oh, wait, I didn't know I was going to write something down. Hang on.
Okay.
While you're doing that, you know, let me just say that the damage that you have isn't initiated by God. It's It's based on this belief system, which is a perversion of the fact that God loves you just the way you are and has a plan for your life that does not include some of the bizarre things that you're getting from Jehovah's Witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got your pen and pencil yet?
No, I'm looking for it. I'm keep swiping it. Sorry. I'm kind of like the endangered species. I have crayons. I'm going to use a crayon.
Yeah, there you go. You can get a crayon and write it on the wall. That would do it, wouldn't it?
The grandkids did it. It wasn't me. Okay.
Okay, it's Stacy, S-T-A-C-E-Y. Uh-huh.
A-S-T-A what?
C-E-Y.
Okay. You cut up a... Okay, wait, okay. That wasn't a T, you didn't say T. It's a V. Okay, Stacy.
9639. 9639. At hotmail.com.
Hot, oops, there went the crayon.
Hotmail, HOTMAIL.com. All right, Stacy, is there in what she's been saying, are there some things that that you want to add to what I have so far?
Well, I'm a little bit familiar with the Jehovah's Witnesses. I have a friend. I worked with a girl who was a Jehovah's Witness. And it's all based on performance, your performance, not what Jesus did for you. And there's nothing that you can do that's going to make him love you anymore. He just loves you. You don't have to perform. You just have to accept the free gift that he gave you.
That's the hardest part, trying to accept that. And, you know, that if you're not performing, you're not out there, you know, doing all the things that they say you have to do, that, you know, Armageddon's coming, and not only are you going to die, but your family and are, that all their lives are, their blood is all on your hands.
But that's not what the Bible says. And the Bible is the inerrant word of God. And if you can focus on that instead of man's rules, because there's nothing that you have to do except believe that Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins and give him your life. He does have a plan for your life.
I think that you're so tied up in knots from all of this and from not
being able... Well, it's like when you say
that
on the cross, I mean, my mind goes right back to where they keep saying it was a stake, not a cross. He did not die on a cross. He died on a stake. See what I mean with that brainwashing?
Well, but you have to undo that. And now that you believe in Jesus, you have the mind of Christ. So when you start to have these things run through your mind, think, now, is this coming from Jesus? And you know that Jesus is not going to send anything like that to you.
Uh-huh.
And that's what you rely on, and that's what you stand on. Not rules and things that you do. Because truthfully, when you do that, you're nullifying what Jesus did on the cross for you.
I am?
He gave the
really?
Supreme, he gave the supreme price for you, his life. And the Bible tells us the things that we do, even the good things, are as filthy rags. There's nothing that you have to do except believe in him. And trust him, not man, not works.
See, once you get this, once this kind of filters in through the harshness of what you've been emotionally beaten with, it's going to free you
mm-hmm.
at a level that you've never experienced before.
Absolutely.
And once that happens, then your life is going to get a lot better.
That would be nice. That would really, really be, it would be nice to be able to become, you know, where you're not, I'm not feeling so guilty that I'm doing everything wrong.
Well, you just remember this, as long as you're feeling guilty and you're feeling like you have to perform, that's what Satan wants you to think. That's not what the Bible says. And if you want to email me, I'll email with you.
Okay.
And we'll get this book out to you.
The stuff going. Now, you know, if you... Do you have a Bible?
Yeah.
What kind?
Well, I have the choice with this Bible. All right. I got a... an NIV.
Okay, that's fine. The reason I asked is you know, I didn't know if there was some kind of edited version that the Jehovah's Witnesses have of their own, so that it kind of twists the scriptures. You know, NIV is just fine.
They have their own. They call it, you know, the New World Translation that you know, they use, and you know they. Instead of, they don't refer to God. They always, it's everything's Jehovah, Jehovah, Jehovah. And cross is completely removed. It's state, you know, things like that. That, you know, so when you're studying with them and you're, you know, you know, you're going, you know, and they say, you know, their Bible is the only correct one.
Well, let's just start by you using a Bible that is used by millions of people in America, which is the one that you've got, that refers to God as God. And if you start to going through,
the love of my life, my husband that I have that passed for quite some time now, when I discussed a part of it with him, is he told me, you know, go the only Bible, you know, get the King James Bible. And that was the first Bible he bought me, was the King James Bible. I'm sorry. My grandmother taught me really well with language, but I couldn't understand that.
All right, Desiree, is your husband a Jehovah's Witness?
Huh?
Is your husband a Jehovah's Witness?
My first husband was.
Married. All right, now you're married to somebody else now, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, is that person a Jehovah's Witness?
Oh, no. No.
Good. All right. Is your husband supportive of you pulling your life together and developing a legitimate relationship with God through Christ?
Yes, he is. He's very supportive of that.
Well, excellent.
He doesn't like the witnesses, but he would let me
go
back to the witnesses if it would make me happy, because he loves me. He wouldn't be happy about it.
Here's what we're going to do. We're gonna let you work with Stacy on some of these things going back and forth, and we're gonna have you back on in a month, and then 2 months, and 3 months. So we're gonna kind of follow up on this to see the progress that you're able to make with this, because that's the key. It doesn't really do any good for you to come onto this little radio show and talk to me like, you know, like, well, I know everything, because I don't. But also, what we have to do is get you into a program that will help you purge yourself of the false beliefs and allow the truth from God's Word to come in and free you and cleanse you and heal you. When that happens, you're going to be able to be, a much better person, which means a much better wife also, and a much better mom and the whole deal, and your whole life is going to do just extraordinarily better than it has been doing. Now, I'm going to just say this. We're out of time, so I'm going to have to wind this up. But just let me just say... I'm glad you called. I'm glad that you reached out. This is an important thing for you. And God bless you. and we will talk to you soon. Good night, okay. Everybody.